It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's the first weekend in June. For my running friends, thank you for a wonderful Memorial Day weekend of racing, starting with the Officer Steve Arkell Community 5K race, which was in Swansea at the Swansea Central School in Brentwood. That was Saturday, May 25th. Then we did the Franklin Animal Shelter 5K, and that was in Franklin on Daniel Webster Drive on May 26th. And then one of my classical favorites, the Black Fly Blitz, and that was in Wilmot Flats. So thank you for my running friends for making it an enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. I also want to put a big shout out to the chair of the board of Memorial Day celebration at Cathedral of the Pines, Jeff Allen, and treasurer and trustee Don Upton. A great Memorial Day show last weekend. And Jeff and Don were able to point out the genesis of Memorial Day. But also, we have this gem out in Ringe, New Hampshire, called the Cathedral of the Pines. Several hundred acres, great war memorial. And if you haven't been out there, I encourage you to do so, and you can get onto their website, cathedralofthepinesalloneword.org. But this weekend with me is a veteran of this show, Craig Peterson, who has his own show on cybersecurity and other technology stuff, and Craig is an expert. So, Craig, tell us your background, and then we'll get right into today's show, which is all about getting back to the basics of security.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot going on. Well, I have been in the computer biz for a long time. I started working on the internet back in the early 80s, and I go way back into the 70s, early 70s, and doing networking stuff. So I've really focused in on that for the last, really, 25 years. On the security side, I run the webinars for the FBI, for all of their InfraGuard program nationally. So I put together a lot of information about security and disseminate that to businesses that are involved with some of the critical infrastructure here in the country. So by the way, I got to put a plug in for that. If you are involved in a business like Northeast Delta Dental, for instance, your IT people, particularly your security people, should be members of InfraGuard. And anyone can apply at infraguard.org, infraguard.org. There's a chapter right here in New Hampshire. In fact, we meet right here in the Concord area, usually once a quarter. But that's where you're going to get some of the latest information, up-to-date information coming from the FBI and the private sector. So that's what I've been doing the last little while.
Wow. And of course, early in your career, you did a lot of work for the state, right?
I did. I'm the guy that set up NH.gov and got that whole thing rolling and did a lot of work for different state agencies over the years and still have some state agencies that we do work for, some of the security and networking stuff.
So fast forward, when you were putting together that website originally and that system, I mean, it has withstood the test of time, but could you see 20 years ago what's happening now?
I wish I would have. I would have bought Bitcoin, right?
Right, and you wouldn't be sitting here with me probably, right?
Exactly. Well, I knew it would be really big. Networking was it. It's where it was at. Many of us kind of thought that it wouldn't go much beyond academia. And in fact, it wasn't legal to even do business online until September of 1991. And at that point, things started to change. But the real change on the internet was the year after. And that was 92, when Tim Berners-Lee came out with the whole idea of the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, which made websites possible. And then things started to fly. And we're at the point today where everybody has a website. We're all on social media. We're using all of these devices. Huge stories out this week about medical devices and how CT scanners all the way through infusion pumps have been hacked. You know, the people that designed many of these systems, Tom, designed them years ago when security wasn't foremost in people's minds. And when I look back these 40 plus years, We weren't thinking about this. We trusted everybody. Everyone who was connected on the network was good guys. Because remember, it was military and military contractors, effectively, which meant universities and others. And the people that had access, that had control, those people were the ones that you really could trust. So it was a really great group, and we were all working to further things, right? More connectivity. And today we've got what's called generically the Internet of Things. You know, look at these lights overhead that are hooked up to the networks, and people are adding it willy-nilly without really thinking it all the way through, which is a huge problem because that gives now an attack vector. And we look at right now we've got these issues with China, right? The trade war that's going on, North Korea. Look at what they can do in the cyber realm now. And that's the whole thing about Huawei and President Trump's basically their ban on what's happening, with trade in the U.S. And we don't trust these companies. The next war, the opening salvo has already been fired, but it's not a hot war anymore. Now it's a war that's in the cyber realm.
You know, it's fascinating listening to you, and it's also something you said really quickly. You know, the first websites and sort of, you know, more retail use of the internet was like in the early to mid 90s. It's hard to believe. I know when I started as CEO of Northeast Delta Dental in 95, we were one of the first Delta companies across the country to put up a website, and it was obviously totally static and nowhere interactive, the way they are now. But you're right. Mm-hmm. No one was thinking about cyber criminals. You were just happy to get a website up there.
Yeah, exactly. And so, there's a lot of complexity, right?
Yeah. And it's I know, and I just look at my own company when back in 95 we had, and this is, you know, these are pretty exact numbers. We had 1.5 people in who did information and technology. We had a service bureau, and now there's like 80 people in the company, and you know, and we have a whole separate department that deals, you know, with cybersecurity, because obviously, as you were referencing, healthcare is highly regulated, and we can be hacked just like anybody else. Let's take a step back a little bit and talk about, you know, getting back to the basics, and then the headlines that you mentioned in terms of the White House executive order and the Equifax breach and things like that. We'll get to, but tell us about, when we say back to the basics in terms of, you know, patch software and so forth, what are we talking about exactly?
Well, I hate to say this because I'm in the industry, right? I'm in the security industry. And every week there's a new piece of software out, right? Oh, you have to get this. This is this wonderful big thing. It's going to do all of this for you. And we got to invest in this. We got to buy this new hardware. We got to do these things. But every time, Tom, I go into a business, I find gaps, right? There's things that they have covered, which is great, but they don't have a broad enough understanding to even see some of these gaps much of the time. But I want to pull it back to the basics, because the industry is out there trying to get you to buy all of this real fancy stuff. But in reality, it's the basics. It's the making sure you have the 3-2-1 backup strategy in place, making sure that you are patching, although sometimes that can be a problem too, like we just experienced with Microsoft with their Patch Tuesday this month, or last month now. It was in May, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. The Patch Tuesday, where they had 19 critical security patches, and what happened? Well, they were blue screening machines because of that. So, you know, be careful of some of those patches. But the basics, having the right types of anti-malware software. You have to have a stack of software on every computer now. It isn't just antivirus anymore. But just those basics, focus on that. Focus on your network. Make sure you have a good next generation firewall in place and that it's properly configured if you're a little bit bigger of a company. Right? The little guys aren't going to be able to handle some of this, but with an 80-person IT team, you probably can, right? But the basics are what matter. Don't worry about all of this other fluff that's out there. They're trying to sell you all of these things. Stick with the basics. And as part of that, in fact, if they go to my website, I've got something right there now for them. It's a checklist, a gap analysis you can do yourself. You just download it, you print it out, and you go through this little checklist, you self-score to give you an idea of, do you have the basics covered?
I like that, the gap analysis. Now, I'm a I get your emails regularly, and your website is very fantastic. So why don't you get that information out? And if someone wants to be connected, so they get your emails, which they're always interesting. When I see your name flash on my email, like I pretty much stop everything and read what Craig has to say. So if someone wants to hook up to you, how would they do that?
Well, you can go to my website at craigpeterson.com. Of course, CraigPeterson.com. If you have your cell phone and you want to sign up, I do send out SMS alerts as well. And I have about 1,000 people I send those out to when there's something going on. Like, for instance, a couple of weeks ago with this Microsoft patch, I sent out a text to people. And you can text me, you can ask me questions just directly. My number is 855-385-5553. So you just text your question. You can say subscribe, whatever you might want to, 855-385-5553. And I'll make sure you're on that alert list. And if you text me there, I can also just with your email address, I'll add you to that weekly email that I send out with all of the basic information for this week. It's not all security, you know, there's some other things that are interesting and business people I think will enjoy as well in that email.
Yeah, I know I do. Tell you mentioned the White House executive order on the Huawei equipment. Tell us what that was all about.
Oh, man. And there were some changes, too. Here's what happened. President Trump, about 2 weeks ago, signed an executive order banning certain types of transmission of software, services, hardware to the second largest telephone manufacturer in the world, and that's Huawei. Huawei is involved not just with making handsets, like you might have a Samsung phone or an iPhone or something, and they're number two in the handset business, but Huawei is also making the technology behind the new 5G stuff that's coming out, right? We've been promised these super fast networks. We've been promised that everything's going to be connected to them, and it's going to be cheap, and that's 5G. So Huawei's in on that. And here's the problem. We have companies here in the U.S. that have found software and even hardware, at least they've claimed to, that is installed by Huawei before it's shipped over here, and it's used to spy on us and remotely control equipment. We have records going back even with the military where chips were sent out for our fighters, our fighter jets, and the chips were pre-infected with spy code that could be used to shut down that jet fighter. So President Trump said, we can't deal with this company that is obviously working against us here in the U.S., which is a real big problem. Well, so what do you do if you have a Huawei phone? Those are running Android. Android, the operating system, not something I recommend people use, by the way. iOS is the way to go if you want any level of real security. But the Android operating system is from Google here in the U.S. So the first company to jump on board the ban under President Trump's executive order was Google. And they said, we will no longer provide a license to Huawei for Android, which effectively would put them out of business. But all of the people that own Huawei handsets are now vulnerable because Huawei can't give you updates.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here we are the first weekend in June, and I'm with expert on security and technology, Craig Peterson, who has his own show. And Craig, give us your website, because I know we've got some interest out there.
Sure. It's simple. CraigPeterson.com. P-E-T-R-S-O-N. And of course, Craig, C-R-A-I-G.
So let's conclude the Huawei equipment saga. And then let's get into firewalls and multi-layers of protection.
Well, about 2 weekends ago, President Trump had been really hammered by people who were concerned that Huawei could not do updates. There are hardware issues and other things with basically a ban on the U.S. export of some of this technology. So President Trump modified things a little bit. They're giving Huawei about 6 months here to more or less wind things down. Huawei has some of its own operating system projects underway right now. But we wanted to make sure, and of course the FCC was involved and Chairman Pai over there, wanted to make sure that we really didn't hurt people badly, particularly in the U.S., but even security, because insecure systems in Russia or in China or anywhere, eventually those insecurities end up affecting us as well. So I think it was a good move on both fronts, banning the Huawei stuff, but making sure they can at least do the updates.
Thank you. That's interesting. So let's talk about robocalls for a moment. We've all been victimized by those. So, and I know it's one of the top consumer complaints to the FCC. Or could be. So tell us your perspective on annoying robocalls.
Yeah, it is number one. You're right about that, Tom. We're talking about billions of dollars lost, almost $10 billion, to these phone scams in 2017, which is absolutely huge when you get right down to it. Almost 6 million complaints about unwanted telemarketing. So here's what's going on. Do you remember the Do Not Call list?
Yes.
Did you sign up for that?
Yeah, I did.
Do you realize what ended up happening with that?
It probably became the Do Call list.
Exactly right. That's what happened. So they had to distribute the list so telemarketers knew who not to call. All that had to happen with that was that list had to get in the hands of someone overseas where there's no control in place from the FCC. And ta-da, all of a sudden you have all of these phone calls. So it has become a major scam. Right now, they're kind of doing blanket things where they're calling as many people as they can. I get, 20 calls a day, I think, that are these robocalls. And the way I deal with it, and there's, short of turning off your phone, what I've done is I have all my contacts in my phone. I use an iPhone, of course, and I have my iPhone set to do not disturb. So it doesn't ring through. I don't see it at all. However, it'll let through people who are in my contact list.
Oh, I see.
So if I get a phone call and it looks like, hey, it's my neighbor, it's the same area code, it's the same prefix, right? It's got to be, I'm going to answer the call. And it's not, right? Because it's one of these robocallers. So that's one of the things you might want to consider doing. I use some software called Hiya, H-I-Y-A. You can get it. It's available for Android and for iOS. And it maintains a database of reported scammers and these robocall guys. So it will tag them. It'll block those calls, which is really handy. Now, all of the major cell phone carriers have the ability to block a lot of these, or at least to tag them, which you can do as well. And of course, speaking of FCC Chairman Pai, he has proposed new rules that allow the cell phone companies to just plain block calls that they think might be from these robocallers. But I've got one more thing that is really, really important that people don't usually realize, and that is if you get a call from a number you don't recognize, do not call it back. Because what ends up happening, one of two things,
that's
right?
That's a great piece of advice. Because I think we all get curious when we get a call and who is this, a long lost high school friend or something?
Yeah. And you call it back, right? You look it up. Oh, I don't know who this person is. So reason one, Tom, they now know this is a real number and there's somebody there. So you're about to get a lot more robocalls. And reason number two, frequently now what they're doing is they're using a phone number that allows them to charge you. You remember the 900 numbers? They're still around, right? And it's $2 a minute to get your horoscope or whatever it might be, right? And they try and keep you on the line,
right,
and run up that bill. The same thing. But what happens is you'll call a Caribbean number, or some other numbers overseas, and it can be as much as $10 a minute that they'll be charging you. And they'll try and keep you on the line as well. So by calling these people back, you're telling them that you're real, that this is a good phone number, and in many cases, you're going to see a surprising charge on your phone bill at the end of the month.
Wow. Staying one step ahead of the bad guys. So that Hiya website is hiya.com, and it checks phone numbers for fraud and illegal activities. And I always learn something from you, Craig. So let's move now back a little bit more to the basics and talk about firewalls and 3-2-1 backup strategy.
All right. Well, first of all, if you're even a home user, but if you're a small business at all, there are major vulnerabilities with pretty much every firewall that you might have bought, okay? If you bought it at Staples or Walmart or Best Buy, the odds are you've got a serious problem. Most of those lower-end firewalls, like you might see from Netgear, et cetera, they have been hacked. In fact, many of them have backdoors built right into them. And so what we've seen recently is all of your data goes from your network. So let's say you're going online to your bank account, right? Goes through your firewall, right? That little router at the edge of your network. And then is routed to Russia, and then is routed back to your bank. So they proceed to do what's called a man-in-the-middle attack on your data. So your small business now has all of this information exposed, logins, passwords, bank account activity. So number one, get rid of that low-end router, firewall, Wi-Fi box and put in something that's decent. I recommend, because I sell these things, right? I recommend something like a Meraki or a Cisco, something real professional. Okay, and you're not going to pay $69 for it. It's going to be hundreds of dollars, but it could save you incredible amounts of money. I have a client we picked up, Tom, that they, a smaller business, and they had $80,000 taken out of their operating account. And it only...
And for a small business, that's a lot of money.
That's real money. Right. How do you pay your vendors, right? And it was sucked out of the account. They were able to ACH the funds. And according to the FBI, it takes 90 seconds for them, once they have your account number, to empty it and have it outside of your U.S. jurisdiction.
Wow.
90 seconds. So... basics, okay? Don't use the firewall that the or firewall router that the cable company gave you, and don't use the ones you bought at the big box retail stores. Get something professional. The 3-2-1 backup is going to save you from ransomware, as well as obviously machine problems, hard disk crashes. And the idea is that you have multiple backups in multiple locations. And you have to have multiple generations of backups, too. Think about what might happen. You might have a USB drive plugged into your computer, and it's doing a backup. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. You got a backup. Well, if your machine now gets ransomware, all of your files get encrypted, and so does your backup. Now, if your backup is encrypted because it's attached to your machine, because remember, the ransomware will encrypt everything attached to your machine. And if you have file shares, like a network share, like most every business has, that ransomware is going to go out to your network share and encrypt everything on your servers as well.
Wow. Jeez.
Okay. So the easiest way to deal with this, don't be like Atlanta, who's been down now for over a month because of ransomware. Don't be like all the national health care, going back to healthcare, right? National Health Service in the UK, in the United Kingdom, was wiped out by ransomware. So by having multiple generations of backup, offsite as well as onsite, if your machine is encrypted and then that encrypted data is backed up, no problem. I roll back to the day before or the week before, right? And I'm okay. I'm back up and running. So that's the concept behind 3-2-1 backup.
Well, so we're running out of time as we usually do. Give us your website again.
It's craigpeterson.com. You're going to find all of these stories that Tom and I are talking about today. You can sign up if you go to the subscribe link to my newsletter and stay up to date on this because it's so important.
And we won't have time to fully explore, but give me 30 seconds on passwords and 30 seconds on Amazon moving into Federal Express and UPS's space and what that might mean. So that's a lot. But give me 30 and 30 on that.
Well, at least I got 30 seconds on it. Okay, passwords, crazy important. I think everybody knows that now, but few people have done anything about it because it's a fair amount of work, right? Which means... get a password manager. I recommend one of two. You either use something called 1Password. It's the digit 1 and then password, which is by far the best, particularly if you're a business, because you can have multiple vaults for different parts of the organization. And the other one is called LastPass. LastPass. So get one of those two. You're going to pay for the really good stuff. You can get some free versions of both of those and change all of your passwords on all of the websites. Let it generate the passwords.
Great. Now, why does a technology and cyber expert like yourself have some concerns with Amazon getting into the logistics space.
Well, this is something I've followed for a long time. Jeff Bezos, of course, everybody knows him, the head of Amazon. And we look at logistics. I have a daughter who is a mariner. Right now, she's over in Norway designing. She's one of the management team, the world's first completely autonomous ship. So logistics are something that really get to me. I love it. But Amazon is building a 3 million square foot prime airport in Kentucky. This thing's absolutely amazing. Enough room to park 100 cargo jets. But what that means is Jeff Bezos and Amazon are going to be controlling the entire distribution. So FedEx and UPS that are used for the longer hauls now aren't going to be used anymore. And this is really Amazon getting to the point where they can you can order and it'll be on your doorstep within 2 to 4 hours.
They control everything. That's the ultimate vertical integration. I know Amazon drivers now show up at our building and, you know, unmarked vehicles dropping stuff off when he used to be the brown truck. So, oh my God, Craig, I got to have you back again. CraigPeterson.com. Thank you, Craig, for sharing all your wisdom today.
Enjoyed it. Oh, you're welcome, Tom.